The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment this sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. The Gospel of the Lord. In the Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we celebrate the fact that Mary was assumed into heaven, body and soul, that she did not taste death. She was, in fact, preserved, freed from corruption, from the tyranny of corruption, by that particular grace of our Lord Jesus. We know that perhaps we have evidence, and I don't like to really get into apologetics in my sermons, but we have some evidence of the fact that Mary was assumed body and soul into heaven. Mary, as we could tell from our first reading this morning, was absolutely revered in the early church, that book of Revelation written by John the Apostle. How then is it that we have churches built on the relics of all of the apostles, at least the apostles, survived the test, as it were? We have churches not only dedicated to the apostles, but that have their remains, and yet there is no church that claims the remains of Mary. What a fantastic basilica that would be if we had those remains. And we don't, because Mary was assumed body and soul into heaven. But the assumption is not merely about a matter of proof that it happened. We would like to know what it means. I think if we see the fact that Mary has not left us over the course of these past 2,000 years, that we have church-approved appearances of Mary throughout the generations, we again see something of the very nature of heaven and earth, that heaven and earth are meant to be wed. In Mary, in her assumption, we see this wedding feast come prior to the time that the whole church will come to enjoy in it. So Mary enjoys this, say, reunification of heaven and earth now, presently, but also she is about the great work of bringing together heaven and earth. And that's what her appearances are about. That's what her manifestations are about, bringing the rule of God's love, bringing the rule of God's life to bear on earth even now. Mary has not deserted us. And it's another sign, perhaps, of the fact of the assumption that she can appear to us on earth over the course of 2,000 years. And I think then we might also take just a brief look at what her appearances look like, that she in fact is quite comfortable to appear in, say, a cultural expression. Almost, you think of Our Lady of Guadalupe, for instance, and the fact that she is adorned wearing clothes that people would recognize in that particular culture. The same with any of the appearances of Mary, perhaps at Lourdes, we might think also. Mary comes to us. She looks like us when she comes to us. She wants to be known by us. She wants to be loved by us. And as Catholics, sometimes in a Protestant country, we shy away from, well, it was a Protestant country. We shy away from the idea that we should walk back on Mary. We don't want to be proud of Mary. We don't want to really talk about it too much, make some people feel uncomfortable. But we can never love Mary as much as Jesus loves Mary. And we ought to love Mary as the Mother of God. If we love Mary, we will become like her. And Mary is always standing there for us to direct us to Jesus. And she'll never lead us astray. So today we give our hearts over to Mary. She'll safeguard our hearts. We entrust ourselves to Mary and to her prayers, to her intercession, as she beseeches Jesus for what it is we truly need in our mission, in our shared mission, to, like her, bring about the rule of God in our lives and through us in our world.